MTAC. We went to it.
We did?
We were not subsumed by Yaoi fangirls. Although we are not very pretty, so that might be why.
Well, you're not very pretty.
Well, I have a beard.
I look like a mirror.
So, Yaoi fangirls see
shiny
in you
and made of silver
something of themselves. So, does that mean that within you is every Yaoi fangirl that's ever existed?
Yep.
That's kind of gay. Kind of gay. Did I tell you about that? When I was working in volunteer ops, I found that that card for the Yaoi, the panel rating card, where you rate things from boring to addicted on a scale of 1 to 5, and would recommend or would not recommend this to a friend. And the person had filled out Yaoi Extravaganza, and that they were addicted to it, and they absolutely would recommend it to a friend, but they had not filled out the, like, what could you suggest to improve this? What sort of other things like that? And I really wanted to screw with the person who had written it and get a pen right in. You know, I had a lot of fun, but it was kind of gay. I think you guys could tone that down a bit.
Well, no, they should tone up the gay and get to, like, Kenshiro level of gay. The proper form.
Go-to-guy styles of gay.
Yes, there's the two kinds of gay. There's Yaoi, and then there's Kenshiro. And rather than toning down the gay, they switch to the kind of gay that they're at.
Yeah, it's the difference between pretty boys doing stuff and, look at all this testosterone! It's everywhere!
Oh god, it's all over my face.
Oh, that's disgusting. What?
Yeah, but you know whoever filled out that card wanted that.
Testosterone all over their face?
Maybe.
This is not a hentai podcast. Even if I have been watching copious amounts of Go Nagai shows since we got back from the convention.
Yes, and I don't know. What did you say about Cutie Honey? You like it now?
I have become a... Okay, well, we need to contextualize this a little bit. MTAC, as I announced last week that we were going to bring you videos and pictures, which I have put videos up on YouTube. Go to YouTube and watch them. I will also embed them along with this post. This post is going to be super duper long. It's going to have videos.
And it's going to continuously grow.
Well, it's going to be video. There's going to be the podcast. Then I'll embed the videos underneath it. Probably put some of the choice cosplayer pictures, like Tambourine Squall. I don't know what the fuck was up with that guy.
I don't know. There were like three guys with those tambourines.
Was he even Squall? Was it just some guy running around in a bomber jacket? Or was
it
maybe
it was you?
It was me. Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
I am Tambourine Squall. You all know my terrible secret now. And you're party to all of my crimes. My tambourine-related crime spree.
Of making people party?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, we went there. We took lots of video, we took lots of pictures, we got a few panels on video. I've put both of the panels up now. How many videos of panels did you take? Just three?
Three. Two.
Yeah.
Vic Mignogna doesn't count.
That's a panel. It was held in a panel room. There were panels in the room. Vic was a panelist. So that was a panel. So three.
Risque cosplay was held in the main room, panel one room, and panel two room. Are you going to say that that was also a panel?
No, because that's extended out to be part of the main room, so it's still a main event. A really fucked up main event.
Hey, you're the one that went to it 2 years ago.
I thought that it would be worthwhile. It sounds logical on paper. Doesn't it? Is that just me? Was my anime fan math wrong?
Your logic is subservient to my insanity.
We're getting a little bit scattered, but let me go ahead and explain Risque Cosplay. Risque Cosplay is something that NTEC does where basically cosplayers do striptease. Now, hold on for a second, because you might go back to my previous statement where I thought that this might be a good idea and want to punch me in the face, which I definitely deserve, absolutely. But think about this for a second. People who are intentionally doing striptease, you would think that maybe these would be the people who felt confident enough in their looks to actually be able to pull it off. So they might be the one or two actually attractive cosplayers you occasionally see. No. Absolutely not. Risque cosplay is disgusting because, and you know what? I will be perfectly honest. If you have the balls to go up there and do that, more power to you. That doesn't make you attractive. You can't do my Shira Nui if you're flat chested and have cottage cheese thighs.
Oh, God. Well, stop making me think about that.
I didn't see into the panel room. You did look into it.
I haven't seen in the panel room. You remember?
Well, you told me that.
You remember that hallway that led to the registration area?
Yeah,
yeah. They were all gathered in there.
Didn't you say that there were like?
And like the door was open, so I could like see into there.
Didn't you tell me that there were like two attractive girls, and one of them was Con Kitty?
Yeah, there was no. There was like one attractive girl, Con Kitty, and then there was a fat girl that was running the dang thing, and then there was Pedo Bear.
I didn't see this. That's kind of disgusting. I'm sure that they were very unattractive, because they were the one time I went. Con Kitty, by the way, is MTAC's mascot, and it's her job to be sort of fanservice-y and attractive, so she doesn't count.
Fair enough.
Besides, she's Alan's wife now.
Every year.
Every single year. That's how he's a secret Mormon. Mormon, just a harem of cat girls. Except that they're all the same person, but they're different people.
Despite how Con Kitty was the same person for 6 years.
You know what? I don't really know that much about the storied history of MTAC, how the convention was forged in the fires of hell by our ancient anime forefathers. Anyway, the story I like to tell about Risque cosplay is the first time I went, my logic was, of course, that, you know, these might be the somewhat attractive people, and to two people's credit, there were actually two people who pulled it off well. But the way that I like to tell the story is that out of all of the people that were there, there were like three guys, one overweight, hairy guy who does it for the joke, which I can respect even if I don't really want to see it. But there was also, the way I love to tell it is that out of all of the cosplayers that were there, the only one who pulled it off was some guy who was Raiden. Me, not being a homosexual male, found my only refuge to be Raiden in a thong. This is either...
Did he have Raiden's thighs?
This is either some miraculous misstep on MTAC's part, or Hideo Kojima has invaded my brain. I'm willing to believe both. So yeah, MTAC. Let's not talk about creepy shit anymore. Pedo Bear was there.
Now, what happens to the viewing rooms after midnight?
Well, usually what'll happen... Oh, the viewing rooms specifically? I thought you were talking about panel rooms. Yeah, no. After midnight, viewing rooms go adult and they show hentai. And I gotta tell you, that is what I've always wanted to do with my life. Sit around with a bunch of overweight, sweaty anime nerds in an air-conditioned room and watch porn together.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I did. The worst part of it was, when I went, I was a volunteer. So if you're wearing the volunteer badge, that pretty much gives anyone on staff or any other... volunteer above you the just cause to go ahead and tell you, hey, are you doing anything? No. Well, you're doing something now. Anyway. But I was walking by the viewing rooms, and I was super... Was this on the night we were gonna do Silent Library and then didn't?
No, I think it was the night after.
Maybe it was. I wanted to think it was.
No, you had the little wristband thing the second night. It was the first night.
Yeah. So, I was walking around. We were going to do Silent Library, which is an MTAC event based on a game show where you have to do disgusting stunts, and you have to be as quiet as possible as though you were playing the game in a library. Now, because some of the main events ran over, it ended up being like an hour and a half late, and so we just said, fuck it, and left. Because I don't care. I will eat as many wasabi corn chips as you want. I'm not waiting an extra hour and a half to do it. I'm tired. But I was just walking around waiting for the line for Risque Cosplay to finally go in. Because that was the event before Silent Library. And I figured once they go in, I will know that it will be nearly time for Silent Library. about an hour after it was finally supposed to go in, I just started walking around near the viewing rooms going, you know what, fuck this, I'm going to go watch hentai. That's how bored I am. And turns out that you're not allowed to actually do that. I found this out on accident because I walked by one of the guys and he was just like, one of the guys who was watching the door struck up a conversation with me and he was like, could you watch the door? I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, well, I'm a reasonably nice person, so I'll go ahead and do it. And he goes off to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there watching the door. Now, the door is slightly ajar so that people who come in don't have to open it, and you can hear the hentai just escaping into the air. So I'm sitting there, and there's a police officer on guard duty at the hotel because, you know, big convention of at least 4,000 people, and I'm just standing there trying not to freak out as I hear, Oni-chan! So that was fun. That was really fucked up. I'm going to go ahead and say that, was Friday, was that Go Nagai panel? Or was that Saturday?
Yeah.
Friday,
because... What?
I'm going to go ahead and say that if not for the Go Nagai panel, I'm going to go ahead and say that Friday was not that worth it. Friday was only okay.
Yeah.
Saturday was a lot of fun, though.
What did we even do Saturday?
That was...
Oh, wait. No, I remember. Cosplay Cop Out.
Your favorite anime sucks. I knew that
which
it wasn't.
We should be a part of.
I knew that it wasn't going to be, but I secretly hoped that that was going to be run by Daryl Surratt. He was going to like descend from on high on a white seed and take us away to some sort of anime Nirvana run by Daryl, Dave, Joel, and possibly Paul. He'd be like the demigod. Of anime.
No, what would happen, he would jump through the window and say, if you hate bad anime that I also hate, then come with me, and then we would jump on a cloud and we would ascend into,
he's flying the flying Nimbus from fucking Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
The reason, you have to understand, when you walk around at an anime convention with normal anime fans, you eventually start to get desperate. Our only refuge was the other guys there who were older anime fans. I don't remember any of their names, though. But one of them gave me a business card. I think we could go ahead and say that. Do you want to go ahead and tell them that? Hands down, we could say that the best panel was...
Go Nagai.
Yes. Anime's creepy uncle, Go Nagai at a glance. That was the only panel, other than Your Favorite Anime Sucks and Cosplay Sit Out, that we both went to. I will have to say that I might have thought of it a bit differently had I gone to English Jamboree, but I did not go to it, so.
Yeah, and you couldn't have gone to Life on the Mecha D-List.
Well, that was the worst thing. I could have gone to that, but I opted out because somebody at Volunteer Ops are like, we need you to pick up this band you've never heard of, and I'm like... Okay, I'll do it. And then I missed the greatest transformation sequence in all of anime.
I really did expect that entire series to be a transformation sequence.
That is up on our YouTube channel as we speak. You can see the transformation sequence for yourself. I unfortunately do not know what show it is.
I don't remember.
All I remember is that it is a giant robot team piloted by circus performers. I'm going to go ahead and say that somebody out there must know what that is, and that cannot be that common of a trait.
I don't know.
Well,
Football Robo.
Well, okay, there was one other giant robot pilot I can think of that was in the circus, but that's it. And not everyone on that team was in the circus. Gundam Wing, Troa, he was in the circus.
He was?
Yeah, I remember that because I went to one of the panels I went to that you didn't. I went to the Toonami fan panel. That was a good time.
But yeah, I should have gone.
Well, yeah, I guess you exist in a time where you would have still been a fan of Toonami.
That was how I got into anime.
That's our generation. That's how we usually got into it.
Watching fucking Naruto.
Okay, I was into it before that. I was watching Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon, and then they showed Big O, and I had like my first orgasm. That was my sexual awakening. Some people, they see breasts for the first time, or they see I don't know, something like that, and they realize, oh wow, I guess I'm straight, or oh, I guess I'm gay. And then I saw Big O, and I'm like, oh, I guess I like robots. But yeah, that was a pretty fun panel. One of the things that we got to do was when they had a show come up, and they were like, would you like to come and tell your experience of this? And I went up there and I talked about Dragon Ball. Alan went up there and did the Over 9000 meme. People were pretty into that. Lots of people talked about Yu Yu Hakusho. And there was actually a pretty good quote by a guy. Did you see that guy who was Koenma from Yu Yu Hakusho?
No.
I might...
Again, I don't remember who that is.
He was the baby. He was like the son of the King of Hell. He was a baby. Had a pacifier. Floated around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was... I don't remember any other character's trait of that character, but he was a baby. That was it. But yeah, he went up there and he talked about one of the cooler quotes from that show. All I remember is the very end of it, because my name is Kazama Kuwabara, and in case you forgot, I have a sword. It's actually not a bad moment from that show, now that I think about it.
I like that show better when it was called Dragon Ball Z.
That's such an easy joke to make, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Both of those shows are just sort of generic shonen stuff to me now, because I've moved on to Ryoma, and Koji Kabuto dies in Magma. That's his name, right? That's his full name?
Wait. No, it's just Koji dies in Magma.
Oh.
Where'd you get Kabuto?
Pokemon.
Oh.
I was thinking about, like, maybe if Koji was a woman, that would be his maiden name. He'd be Koji Kabuto, nay, dies in Magma.
What's your name? Koji dies in Magma.
You sound like a young woman I would like to marry. Woman, look at all this testosterone! Hulks out and just punches him.
Yep.
So can we move back to other worthwhile panels? Tsunami fan panel was good, but if you like Tsunami, you know everything we talked about.
And what about the people that don't know about Tsunami?
Well, they lead a sad and pathetic existence, and they should probably just kill themselves. Because they will never know Steve Bloom's voice.
You sure? He's in everything.
That's a pretty good point. No, that was the thing I was saying, like, they have Tsunami fan panel. We actually managed to get Steve Bloom as, like, a secret unlockable guest star after you beat him at the end of the game, and I'd be like, Steve Bloom, punch him right in the face. You're the reason I've watched all this terrible anime.
But he wasn't the original host of Tsunami.
That is true. Moltar was.
I'm not old enough for that.
To remember Moltar? I remember when they changed over from Moltar to the first Tom, and I was like, who's this CG robot? And then they had that whole Tsunami arc where the ship was under attack, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. But of course,
I'm gonna sit through this 3-hour block of bad anime just to find out what happens.
It wasn't all bad. That was back when they were showing Big O, so
yeah.
Although that
Steve Bloom Power Hour.
Yes, Steve Bloom Power Hour. I'd have watched it. Just him sitting around smoking a cigar. His massive beard gets on fire. Turns out he's a Terminator.
Guy from Fantastic Four.
Shoot. Johnny Storm?
Yes.
Johnny Young Bosch? Is Johnny Young Bosch from Fantastic Four?
No.
He was not there. We had other voice actors that were there, though I only interacted with three of them. Yeah. Before we talk about voice actors, let's finish off Gona Guy panel. That panel was so much fun.
That's because we couldn't shut up.
Yeah, I want to apologize to the guys from Awesome Podcast, because we, was it Awesome Cast? I don't have the business card in front of me.
OFM Cast.
Yeah, Awesome Cast. I want to apologize to them. I also apologize in the email I sent them, because I wanted to show that we actually listened to their business card and, their podcast, but their business card led us to the podcast. It's like a podcast divining rod. I apologize for during your Go to Guy panel that the two of us would not shut up during it, but I couldn't help it. You started talking about Mazinger.
And then you eventually got all the way to the end. Get a Robo.
Yeah, I did like that they did it that way. What were the shows that we saw? We saw...
Oh, they started with Mazinger.
Yeah, Mazinger Z, Jeeg. Then Cutie Honey?
No, I want to think there was something else. Devilman.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was Mazinger, Kotetsu Jeeg, Devilman, Black Lion, Violence Jack, Cutie Honey. Oh my god, I watched a clip of Violence Jack because I was like, I don't know. I've been on this Go Nagai streak since that panel anyway. Since that panel, I have recently watched Mazinkaiser, Kotetsu Shinjig, and Re-Cutie Honey. And I have become a secret Cutie Honey apologist. Because Re-Cutie Honey is actually pretty good. Though Keiko Kamen is still a step too far.
And he did it as a joke.
Did he? Or did I just make that
He did it as a joke, and someone thought it was good, so they published it.
Oh my god, boobs. Give me more! He's just hugging on Go Nagai. He's like, don't worry, son. I'll give you all the boobs you need. Then he just draws that villain from Devilman.
Yes.
Oh my god. That was a fun part of the panel when we talked about Devilman, and one of his enemies is this demon woman who, when she goes demon form, her boobs open up with mouths in them. And I had to react. I just picturing Go Nagai sitting there going, I'm gonna ruin boobs for everyone.
Until the end of time.
Exactly. Maybe he was, like, turned down by a girlfriend who broke up with him for some other guy, and as they were leaving, he squeezed her breasts. He's like, I'm gonna make sure that no one can ever enjoy breasts ever again. Draws mouths in them. Everyone in Japan immediately turns gay.
Got them open.
Except for the women. The women turn, like, super straight. and that's why Japanese birth rates are so low. It's Go Nagai's fault. What was it? Cutie Honey, Keiko Kamen, Shameless School, Enma Kun, and then Getter Robo.
Not quite Go Nagai.
But it might as well be. Getter Robo and Mazinger Z are like brothers.
Yeah.
And no one is more... okay, I'm going to be honest, Ryoma's probably more crazy than Koji Kabuto, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, and I can't really remember a time where Ryoma busted out of a volcano.
Well, yeah, I do suppose that that's true. Though he did time travel to the moon. Though that may not have necessarily
been his intention. And they did enter Getter Valhalla an infinite amount of time.
Listen, Getter Robo can beat up the gods themselves, so I'm going to go ahead and say that...
Mazinger Z is a god. Literally.
True. I did like that in Mazinkaiser. It's like, with Mazinger Z, you could become a god or a devil. With Mazinkaiser, you'll be better than God.
So do you remember that? That other Mazinger, where Zeus is actually a giant Mazinger.
Oh, that's right. Which one is that?
I don't remember.
I think that was another Mazinkaiser. Like, they made
no,
a second...
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
No, I know that Mazinger, it's like, Z Mazinger.
Well, see, that's, well, what was it we talked about during the Go Nagai panel? I'm gonna take this idea, and I'm gonna do it better. He took, Tetsujin 28, made Mazinger. Better. Not that I have anything against Tetsujin 28.
I wouldn't know.
Saw, what was it, Witch Girl Sally? There's the first magical girl anime. It's something Sally might have had the word witch in it. It's like, I'm going to make Cutie Honey. And then there was nudity, and it was better? I'm going to call it...
To some people.
Well, I'm going to call it better because... I watched Lime Barrels of Iron a little bit back, and the robot action in that is good, is pretty decent, but it's covered up by all of stupid characters and really garbage fan service. Cutie Honey is, and Lime Barrels of Iron is super stupid. Cutie Honey has really good action. It has all of that stupid bullshit fan service stuff that really make you want to go. When you watch it, you want to look at the director or maybe Go Nagai and go, is that really necessary? And maybe not really combat it. But it is stupid, but it's a special kind of Go Nagai stupid that I just can't hate. Especially when Penis Man and Balls Man show up.
I forgot about that.
It's in the first episode. They're at a doujinshi thing, and a guy sees, this is a horrible injustice, transform, and you see, like, his penis waving around in a circle, turns into Penis Man, gets arrested for indecent exposure. Then, because Penis Man is in trouble, his trusty sidekick, Balls Man, who also wiggles his penis around in a circle in order to transform, he also gets arrested immediately. So, yeah, there's that.
Knife on the police.
Yeah. But we did talk about Jeeg. I did tell them that you need, if you're going to have a panel where you mention Jeeg, you have to include double Jeeg.
If only because of that one line.
There's no air in space. I don't need it. Oh, Hiroshi, you're so cool.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good show. I did finish off Kotetsusha Jeeg. And I have to say, I have a few gripes with it. I kind of wish they hadn't had to use so much CG. And some of the stock footage would get a little bit tiresome after a while. But my biggest overall complaint is that when Hiroshi shows up, and he and Kenji are both Jeeg, there's not enough time where they're both Jeeg. I kind of wish that had gone on for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But yeah, since that panel, gone on a bit of a Gonagai spiritual journey, and I have watched through 3 anime series so far because of it.
What did you think of the ending of Mazen Kaiser?
I thought that the ending fight with Super Baron Ashura when Koji summons the power of the Kaiser Blade, that was pretty awesome. I kind of wish that there had been a more definitive final battle with Dr. Hell, but I'm willing to accept it for what it is.
I always have to ask Gonagai, what is it with you in giving every robot that you have made a giant sword?
Swords are cool.
I know swords are cool, but Jeeg can shoot a whirlwind out of its chest.
Yeah, Jeeg doesn't have a sword. It has a lance. At least the original.
Yeah, Jeeg doesn't have a short sword. I forgot that Jeeg didn't use the friendship sword, and rather that was just a...
No, that was just a thing. That's something I will have to say for Jeeg. If you're going to have the big bad guys overwhelmed by the power of friendship, that shit better manifest as some sort of weapon. So when Tsubaki and Kenji use the power of their love and friendship in order to defeat Himika, the fact that it manifests as a big sword that they shoot lasers out of it and into her, that's a lot better than Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Just has friendship speeches, but that never manifests as a giant sword that you use to kill some half-naked demon lady.
No, at best you've got a card.
Yeah. One thing I'll have to say, when I say that I've become the secret Cutie Honey apologist, I'm only talking about re-Cutie Honey. Other Cutie Honeys may still be too stupid for their own good. One thing I will say for that show is that when they want to be more serious, they will tone down the nudity. There may still be nudity, but it will be less overt. It'll just sort of be, this character is nude, it's not a big deal. So I'm more willing to accept that.
Huh.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good, and some of the action sequences in Re:Cutie Honey are just spectacular.
Does she ever run up a gigantic wall or a monster?
No. But, I don't want to ruin it for you. You should just watch it for yourself.
Listen, I already know about Breath Defliction, Breath Missile.
That's in the first episode, and it gets better. Although, to be honest, I don't know if that was good. Like, that was really weird. I'm not sure how to feel about deflecting boob missiles with your own boobs. Maybe we can talk about that some other time. After the Gonagai panel, we have to do Gonagai podcast series.
Yeah.
At least it could be...
Well, we make a new podcast dedicated to Gonagai.
They wanted to do Gonagai Con, and I'd go to it.
I would go to that if it was being held in Italy.
I would, so that he can announce that he made Guy King.
There you go.
That's just like an endless loop on the intercom. I made Guy King. Made Guy King. I made Guy King. Wasn't that cool? Guy King? Yeah, I thought so.
Because I made it.
Yeah. No, if there was a go to Guy Con, I would just go straight to the Mazinger corner and never, ever move. Although I might have to go to the G corner, so maybe I don't know.
I don't know. I would like go up to Gonagai and say, hey, I like your work, shake his hand. And he'd be like, what are you talking about? I can't understand you.
This isn't a podcast about Go Nagai, even if that was my favorite panel of the convention. There were other good panels, though. The panel that we went to before Go Nagai panel was...
Leet Hacks,
Anime Computer Security. That one was entirely... It was these two guys. I don't know why. If you do a podcast about anime and you are an IT person, you apparently just produce a better podcast. Fast Karate does it, and whoever the hell these guys, I think they also do a podcast.
Yeah, they do. Akihabara Renditions.
You're going to have to write that down for me, because I need to listen to their podcast too, because they were pretty cool guys.
They are worth it updating than we were back during the hiatus.
So they're like VG cats?
I'm pretty sure that they have been going for 3 years and have like 30 episodes.
Well, that's good. That means I don't have that much to catch up on.
To be fair...
Are their podcasts like a lot longer?
They go to cons like constantly?
Well, the guy, the main guy, the guy with the beard...
That wasn't the main guy. The main guy is Drew, the other guy.
Okay, well, the other not Drew guy. If you watch the podcast, if you watch the video of... They ran Anime Fandom as an Adult, which I did not go to, and I'm very grateful to you for filming it.
Welcome.
What?
You owe me for life. Human blood.
Human blood. You owe me...
You're joking. I'm taking it.
7 pounds.
Of human dole.
Listen to this, internet. He stole my pizza and ruined it.
I did the waiter minigame in Tales of Vesperia. You can have your pizza from now on. I've paid back my debt.
In human blood.
Waiter minigame.
Yeah, human blood as strained from your own pores out of frustration at the waiter minigame. Although Estelle was super easy.
I'm glad I saved her. And Raven was the hardest.
Yeah. We've been, one of the reasons that I've been kind of slow with updates, I've had some schoolwork to do as the year is finishing up, and also we've been playing a lot of Tales of Vesperia. We'll do a podcast on that probably next time, because, I know that Portal 2 came out, and that's the big hot video game ticket, but I haven't bought it yet, and I kind of would like us to talk about Tales of Vesperia. But next time. Leet Hacks, it was these two guys who run that podcast, and they did a panel about this show called Battle Programmer Shirase, which I have watched, and my quick review of that show is too many jokes about lolicon sex, not enough ridiculous computer hacking.
However, the King of America can't hack your brain.
There's a villain in that show called the King of America. He's some Japanese guy. I don't know where the America... I think he's, like, working in an American business overseas, so maybe that's where that comes from?
He's previously hacked all computers in America, so everyone assumes that he just kind of owns it. He's like a private... He's like a PMC. He owns the country.
We didn't have to worry about China after all. It was just this fat, pimply-faced Japanese guy.
Damn it, we were focusing on the wrong guy.
Yes, we were focusing on the wrong Asians. God, we need to go at least a little bit longer in this podcast before we start becoming really racist. We've done Space Navy. Now, as you know, people who listen to us, we are the bastard offspring of Fast Karate. We, like, mutated from their leg or something. So, I think Space Navy can be considered our equivalent of Lightning Train.
Lightning Train.
We have not gotten to the point where we have had the equivalent of Hanabi.
No.
I re-listened to that podcast. It's still as funny as it always has been.
Yeah. We own the shirts for a reason.
Yeah, we do. Oh my, that was the thing that cemented Go Nagai panel. Even if that panel had only been average, it would have been the best panel because the guy there recognized my shirt. And I was like, finally, somebody who actually knows what Fast Karate is that I didn't introduce them to it.
You didn't introduce me to Fast Karate.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, back when I didn't have a computer and you were using that really old one.
Oh, I do remember that. That one sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Well, I mean, it was an old beat-up thing, but it's sort of like the old beat-up car you still have affection for. So, like, my car. I just have an affinity for old tech, what can I say? Battle Programmer Shirase, if you just watch the parts where he's doing Leet Hacks, it's actually kind of fun. Because he does at one point manage to hack 3 lighthouses and hacked some satellites, which is apparently possible.
I just like what you said after that was shown to us.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happens is that the basic idea of Battle Programmer Shirase, there is a mild overarching plot, but really it's divided up into...
Five arcs.
They're about 10 minutes of episode each, so they're about... There's 15 episodes. In, I think it's the second one, possibly the third one, I may have forgotten, where a boat with a nuclear warhead has stalled out in the middle of the ocean, and there are these terrorists who are going to go after it. The King of America is behind it somehow. It doesn't really matter. They call in Shirase. He solders 6 keyboards to 1 chip so that he can type with 6 keyboards at once. I don't know why, but he can.
I can hit W 3 times!
Do you know what the interesting thing is? The way that they describe in the last arc with Shirase's programming prowess is that he has the brain power comparable enough that if he listens to a song, he can extract it as MP3 data by hand.
What?
Yes. Though, to be fair, we are talking about a guy who hacked 3 old Soviet Union satellites and used them, drafted the last one in by burning up the first 2 so that it would crash in a boat to stop the boat from getting a nuclear warhead. Also, all the people that were hit by that satellite survived.
All of them.
Yeah, that explosion was really big. No way. I don't believe it. So, yeah, he's hacking with 6 keyboards. He hacks 3 lighthouses, which, actually, I was willing to believe that that one was possible. When they did lead hacks, they basically, like, look at this thing. Did you think that was real? It was bullshit. Or it was possibly real. You
remember
can...
the bunny?
Yeah. ASCII bunny?
Uh-huh.
I don't even remember what that was. I think that the King of America hacked a furniture warehouse so that he could get free furniture.
Wait.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
So he got a virus on a phone so that when it connected to a laptop...
No.
It would...
Other way around. He hacked a computer so that he would be able to reroute some of the shipping orders on the computer with an ASCII bunny that dances around in front of your spreadsheet. And then that virus jumped to that woman's cell phone. At least I think that's what happened. Also, I don't think anything results of the cell phone. I don't really...
It's like stealing all of her text messages. Oh, I see John slept with Betty.
The ultimate anti-sexting device. Bunny will steal your vagina. I remember my reaction to that. It's like, the ASCII bunnies aren't real. But I was like, but the ASCII deer, that is a real problem, right? And he's like, yeah, you gotta watch out for
totally.
That shit. So, after hacking the satellites and it crashes into the boat, I had to ask after we had seen that. By the way, you can really hack a power station. You cannot hack lighthouses. But there are ways to get into old Soviet satellites, though you cannot bring them down on someone. At least according to those guys. So, take it up with them. I had to ask, so is there a point where he stops boat-based terrorists by hacking the ocean? And the answer is no.
Dang it.
But he does, and I did watch this, there is a point where he does stop helicopter terrorists by hacking their helicopter communications with a cell phone that he's hiding behind his back. Yeah, it's a little bit much. If you can, my suggestion for watching Battle Programmer Shirase, watch the 3rd, 6th, 9th, 12th, and 15th episodes, and nothing else.
So watch the end of every arc?
Yeah, because that's when the ridiculous hacks come in. Everything else is just creepy lolicon jokes and hug pillows. So,
yeah
there's that. That was Lead Hacks. The only other... Well, I guess we need to give some time to Cosplay Sit Out. There's Cosplay Sit Out. Cosplay Sit Out is when when basically the people are like, we like cosplay, but we sort of hate the super fashion show cosplay stuff that goes on at MTAC, because MTAC actually does have an event that takes up the main room, the first panel, and the second panel, where it's a cosplay fashion show. Now, as stupid as that sounds, there's an alternative where these two women, Dorian was one of them. I don't remember the other one's name, and I apologize to her for that. They hold a panel where you can basically sit around and be like, yeah, all that cosplay stuff, it can be pretty all right. But these guys, they're kind of dicks. It was pretty fun. We talked about dubs. I got the idea for a panel to do next year for it.
And we will be doing them.
Yeah, we will. We're definitely going to try to do panels next year. So,
and every year, Cosplay Cop Out has a motto. For those of you that heard me say under my breath, fuck China, that was last year's motto.
This year's motto was be the best walrus you can be?
Yep.
Was it walrus or some other sea animal?
It was either walrus
fucking narwhals.
Or narwhale.
Narwhals?
Narwhal.
Fucking narwhals.
Fuck you, Dad.
You fucking narwhal. I made fajitas.
I'm allergic to Mexican.
I have no daughter!
And now everyone on the internet has heard you do that voice.
Yes, that is my super angry voice that I do whenever I'm freaked out by something.
Typically
that manifests when we're watching some anime that doesn't make sense, like Lime Barrels of Iron or Strike Witches, when I just like, what? Why?
By the way, I watched the first episode of Lime Barrels of Iron.
Yeah?
Yeah. In other words, I watched the fight and I watched him punch through a wall.
Yeah. Was it alright? I thought it was pretty alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first, we'll talk, maybe we can talk about Lime Barrels of Iron some other time, but not right now. That's pretty much all there really is to cosplay set out. It's actually a nice little amusing time. You basically just bum around with some people and talk about stuff.
Tell the story about 2 years ago in crotch pocky.
Oh my god. Do I have to talk about groin pocky? Okay. So, the first time I went to Cosplay Cop Out was when I went to MTech 2 years ago, and I was just like, yeah, what the hell, I'll go to this thing. Sat in it, guy comes in, complains about how nobody knows what Gunsmith Cats is, and I was like, I know what Gunsmith Cats is, because I know what Riding Bean is.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's like, oh, cool, there are people who know what that is. He starts throwing Pocky at us. I don't really remember how these events are connected to each other. Girl in front of me tries to catch the Pocky coming my way. And that's fine. It's Pocky. I don't really want to eat it. Bounces off her hand, hits me straight in the nuts. I catch it on the rebound. Guy behind me starts complaining about the fact that he didn't get the Pocky. Now, of course, I can't actually change my expression, because if I did, I would wince in pain. But I really wanted to wheel around and go, listen, dude, this is my testicle Pocky. You get your hands off. And I started eating it. And I'm like, this is disgusting. Pocky sucks. But I have to eat it. I've earned it with my own balls.
Not in the manly way, though.
No. No.
No, the manly way would be punching the air, and then Pocky just kind of manifests.
Well, I would explore. You remember that Pocky cosplayer?
Yeah.
I have to show you guys.
You would punch him and, like, would fall out.
Well, what I would do is I would Kenshiro him. His head would explode and a box of Pocky would come out. And it would be the most immaculate box of Pocky to ever exist. But because
it's so
Pocky, it
still sucks. People would be angry if he murdered someone.
It'd be like, yeah, but I would do it as Kenshiro. So they would be like, that was so cool. And then they would see the scars on my chest and somebody would charge me with a knife. And then they deserve to die.
No. They do the, they try and do the temple thing on you.
Oh, yeah, then I blow them up because of the pressure point in their thumbs that I press with my temples.
There you go.
Speaking of Kenshiro, should we do Your Favorite Anime Sucks?
How did they not get GTO?
I can't fucking believe it. I watched the video before I uploaded it for Anime Phantom as an Adult, and, the guy said, like, mentioned GTO, and then nobody knows what GTO, and you're like, I hate everyone. And I was like, I understand your pain. I got GTO, and I thought that was going to be such a softball. Your Favorite Anime Sucks is a panel where you go in, and the panelists, you say an anime, and they make fun of it. pretty simple stuff. Apparently, my knowledge of anime is significantly more vast and storied than I actually think it is. Because there were so many animes that they were not aware of that I picked up on. Like, well,
G-Gundam.
Yeah, they didn't fucking know what G-Gundam is. I had to make fun of that by yelling out, oh, come on, it's the really racist one. Though,
yeah,
to be fair,
there was a guy off to the side that barely remembered, and he was like, isn't that the one that had, like, Burrito Gundam? And like,
was that even
I
want to
draw
the...
that now, but you don't know what G-Gundam is. I cannot respect you.
Was that one of the panelists? I thought that was just some guy on the side of the room.
No, that was a panelist.
Oh, okay, I guess he...
That was the guy that said,
Was that the guy wearing the High School of the Dead hoodie?
Maybe.
By the way,
it was the guy all the way to the left.
Yeah, I think that was the guy with the High School of the Dead hoodie. By the way, I watched one episode of High School of the Dead. Now, I only watched one episode, so I am willing to go ahead and say that that might not have been the best episode. But my experience with High School of the Dead so far is that that show is stupid.
I watched two, and I would agree.
That it's stupid. You have to do it in that Michael Jackson voice. That's how stupid it is.
Well, that's my natural voice.
Then you have a really good accent.
I'm that good.
But the best part of your favorite anime sucks, because people threw out the normal stuff. There was Naruto and Bleach. Apparently Bleach isn't over, which was one thing it had on Naruto.
That it had ended.
Apparently it's not over yet. So,
however,
you know,
Naruto
what?
Has an advantage over Bleach now, because Bleach, there's nothing going on in the freaking show.
Yeah, and Bleach also has implied incestuous feelings. So, basically, they did that. And some of it was fun. You got the normal stuff. Dragon Ball Z was thrown out there. Somebody did Key the Metal Idol, and nobody knew what they were talking about. And then Dorian actually got up and was able to make fun of it. And I'm like, thank you for knowing what that is. I feel much less alone now.
You still got me.
Yes, I do have you, because you know what Crystal Triangle is.
I only know what that is because Dave and Joel.
Yeah, well, so do I.
I don't know. Those two guys, the guys that did English Jamboree, knew.
Yeah, I know. They're apparently like our podcast brothers, or possibly our other podcast. Maybe they're like our podcast uncle, if Fast Karate is our podcast daddies. That's a really creepy way of saying that, but all the same. But I really wanted to, now that, if I could go back and do it again, I would say Crystal Triangle, because I could make fun of Crystal Triangle. You know when it takes place? In 1980X. You know when it was made? 1987. There were 2 years left. This isn't even Fist of the North.
It could have been worse. It could have been worse. It could have taken place, like, at the beginning. It could have had, like, a subtitle, 1987 to 1989. I think 1980X is better.
You did tell me that story about how you accidentally blurted something out when Crystal Triangle was mentioned.
Shoot the ruins and you can read them.
And nobody knew. Okay, nobody got it. Which is too. Which is too bad.
I never redeemed myself with that.
You did. The fun part of your favorite anime sucks was when they're like, "Okay, we'll say anime that we like, and if you can make fun of it,
you get a reward.
You get a prize." Now I got two in, but I did only win one prize. The first one that comes up, it's as though a softball is being pitched to me, and I've just unsheathed Excalibur from the stone. The first thing that comes up is Elfin Lied, and I rocketed out of my seat to make fun of the show.
And I pointed at you with both hands and said, this guy!
I may have said this on the podcast before, but let me go ahead and say it now. Elfin Lied is, if I was Batman, Elfin Lied would be my murdered parents. If I was Spider-Man, Elfin Lied would be the murdered Uncle Ben. There's probably some other murder metaphor that I can go with here. But Elfin Lied is the reason I started a podcast. Because I went on the internet, and the only people who have ever hated on this show were Dave and Joel. And I was like, more people need to know why this show is garbage. We haven't gotten to it yet. 100th episode. If we make it to 100 episodes with this podcast, Elfin Lied. But I
You're gonna make me watch that no matter what, are you?
You might. You can watch it through like one of those things they use to watch. What is it? Solar eclipses. So that like you don't get the
my my vision is significantly dampened. Yeah. I can make out a fuzzy breast.
Yeah. And then there's like a heart that's gonna push out. No, not right now. So but I was like, and I feel like I sort of only hit a ground rule double at best. I really didn't hit it out of the park. I didn't think of one to hit it out of the park until later. I was like, if I want to watch Gantz and porn at the same time, I can. And somebody said, one of the panelists who joined in later was like, dude, Guro panel. And I'm like, don't remind me that there's a Guro panel. Because you have to remember that there is an entire fetish where people are into stuff like Elfin Lied. That, I feel, is like why it's our holy crusade to take that show on, even if it's no longer the worst show I've ever seen. But I do feel like I kind of... That one, at best, was a ground rule double. I feel like if I really wanted to hit it out of the park, I should have focused on the moe aspects of it. I came up with this burn for Elfin Lied later. One burn is not enough for Elfin Lied, but here's one that might tide you over. You know, nowadays in anime, there's a lot of moe stuff. You've got the Tsundere girls, and you've got the maid girls, glasses chicks, but since I watched Elfin Lied, my personal favorite has always been the one where the girl pees herself because she's too stupid to say the word bathroom. Oh, God. So let's get away. I did not win on that one. No. I did not, which was too bad. I did, however, win a copy of the first DVD of New Fists of the North Star because I burned someone on Rurouni Kenshin. Kenshin came up, and I was like, you know what? Naruto may have run filler into the ground, but Kenshin's where it all started. Which is not technically true, but it was a good enough burn that I won Fist of the North Star, so I'm considering it a personal victory.
That's your story from now on. I made fun of Rurouni Kenshin and got won Fist of the North Star.
Best MTech ever. Straight up, best
until next year, where actually meet Kenshiro.
And he immediately kills me.
Why would he kill you? You're a fan of his.
You're right. I'm not a bandit.
You're not a bandit, and you don't...
I don't have a pink mohawk.
Yeah, you don't have hair.
Speaking of mohawks, the first video that's going up underneath this podcast is Ultimate Cosplay Team.
I love that show.
Yeah, there was a cosplay team. All the people from Cro-Marty. Fucking
Mechazawa.
Yeah, we had Mechazawa, Freddy. Freddy was played by a woman. The gorilla was there. You had Kamiyama and all the good characters. It was just great. I had to get it on video. It was amazing. Especially the Mechazawa costume. That was just fantastic.
They even had his little brother.
Yep, Kamiyama was carrying Minizawa around on a stick. What else? Those are all the panels. There were not enough... Oh, that was one that did come up during your favorite anime sucks. We do need to mention this, that...
Black Cat?
No. Who did we sit in front of?
We sat in front of Cogswell Pepperbox.
Yes, we did in fact sit in front of Cogswell Pepperbox. I didn't confirm it initially, but it was this little kid... It was not this little kid. He looked like he was in maybe his late teens. Who was like, somebody mentioned Ava, because that's one of the choice ones if you want to make fun of anime. And he starts defending it from behind us. And this literally came out of this guy's mouth. You wouldn't be able... You would like it better if you could maybe understand it. And I wanted to wheel around and go, do you realize how much of a jackass you sound like?
Not only that, there was a point where his friend... for burning something, I don't even remember what. It was after you. That's the point. They won something, and they brought back Beck. And I said, Beck? And he's like, you can't say shit about Beck.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that I can make fun of any anime as long as I have watched it.
Yes,
if it exists, and I have seen at least some of it, I'm sure I can make up something to laugh about it at. So, and I really want to be part... Maybe I could ask that if Alan introduces me to Dorian, because, well, I met Dorian, but that's not the point. Maybe I'd be like, can I be a panelist for that? And she'd be like, no, it's our panel, and then slap me, and then I'd have to go away in shame. But if I was to be part of that and somebody did bring up Ava, I've got the perfect burn for it, too.
What?
Because Ava is important to anime fandom development. Anime fans are like bugs. They have an egg form, a larva form, a pupa form, and an adult form. When they're eggs, that's when they have first, they first are starting to watch it, and they don't really realize that it's anime, so they're just kind of, you know, checking it out. It's something cool. Like, yeah, like when you're a little kid, like when I was watching Dragon Ball, I just thought it was cartoons.
When I couldn't sleep at night, and I ended up watching Trigun at midnight.
Yeah, back in the day when there was no difference between anime and something like Batman the Animated Series. Then the egg hatches and you get pupa form. That's when you start to realize that anime is its own specific thing, and you'll pretty much watch any anime ever. It doesn't matter. It could be garbage. It's anime, so you'll still watch it. Then you're in the larva form. Or pupa form, sorry. Pupa is where most anime fans are nowadays, where they find these shows that they like, and they will never stop defending it, and they will go on the internet and fight about it. That's where this guy is, because he's defending Ava from a panel that is specifically designed to make fun of shows. Then you get to the adult form, which I'd like to think is where we are. Because you want to, if anybody wants to send in emails, I like Getarobo, I like Mazinger Z, I actually kind of like Cutie Honey, I have a secret love of idol music that is a secret, nobody should know about that. If you want to make fun of stuff I like, fucking go for it. I'll laugh along with you. I will not try to defend it from you, unless you're going to say something like, Cutie Honey is a secret Zionist conspiracy. That I might have to call into question, because that doesn't make any sense. But if you can make fun of it, go for it. Totally. Ava is an important part of anime fandom development, because it's one of the shows that can draw you into pupa form. It's something that you have... Once you're able to get past Ava, that's when you can become an adult. Because Ava is a show that you can watch and you think that it has all of this meaning. You go and you defend it on the internet and from people that you meet in real life if you ever actually leave the computer, until you eventually realize that it's nothing more than the incoherent ramblings of some depressed weirdo.
How did that guy from Anime Fandom as an adult put it?
It's not really that good the next time around.
It's not really good that the fifth time around, but no. Going online and defending a show that you really like is like winning the Special Olympics.
Oh yeah, that one was pretty funny. But yeah, So that's a burn I can do on Ava. If you like Ava, whatever. I really, really don't care. I think we need to move past it. It's been too long. Let's make fun of other stuff. There are so many other shows we can hate on, like He Is My Master. Can't we all unite in our desire to destroy that show?
No.
Well, I hate it.
I know you do.
I consider He Is My Master to be the worst show I've ever watched. Elfin Lied is now second or third. It's tied with Queen's Blade.
Really?
Yes. Elfin Lied is tied with Queen's Blade for reasons I can describe at a later time. Other than that, I imagine somebody who would be listening to this podcast be like, why did you talk about any of the celebrities? And I'd be like, well, they're just people. It was confidential information at the time. I do not know if it continues to be confidential information, so anybody listening to this podcast, I had to, part of my volunteer duties were picking up people from the airport. I picked up, the Suzanne, who are a band I've never heard of. They're a Japanese girl band. They're like experimental rock or something like that. They don't have a Wikipedia page, so I don't know that much about them.
They're a J-pop band that hates all other J-pop, so yeah, they try and make their own version of it.
Yeah, I interface with them somewhat. I mostly talk to their manager. She's very nice, very polite. I picked up Vic Mignogna from the airport first day. We shook hands. I carried his bags. Seemed like a pretty nice guy to me. You met him, too. You've got a picture with him. Both of you look really uncomfortable during that picture, though.
I know. I have the most stern look on my face.
Vic looks like he's uncomfortable because you have such a stern look on your face. He looks like he's worried that you're going to stab him. That said, what did you tell me? Did you tell Vic that you were my brother? That you
yes,
were the
I
brother?
Told him that I was your brother, and he responded, I was like, oh, what was his name? And I told him that your name was Joe, and he said, yeah, cool guy. Tell him I said hi.
Yeah, so you heard it here first. That's our new slogan. One pixel jump. Vic Mignogna said that we're cool guys. That's it. That is going to be like in banner ads. I'm going to be putting it everywhere. And then he's going to be like, I never said that. And then the ensuing legal typhoon will subsume our podcast, but we'll become super famous because of it. So that's my plan. Vic, you've played perfectly into my hands. I was worried about it, too, because I watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and I'm like, I should probably watch this in case I need to compliment him on something, and then I'm watching, and I'm like, oh no, it's only kind of average. What do I do? Ah!
Oh god, it's like the first series.
No, I think the first series was better. It was less humor, and like most anime, it's not really that funny. So, yeah. I also picked up Robert Axelrod, whose name, every time I look at it on a piece of paper, I think it's going to be Axelord, but it's not. It's Axelrod. You may know him as the guy who played Lord Zedd. According to somebody I met, he also wrote Samurai Pizza Cats. He's all right. This might be a bit of an embarrassing story for him, so shh. But after we got done at the airport, he was like, I'm kind of hungry. I haven't eaten in a bit. Can we go to a grocery store? And I'm like, well, I am here to help. So I told him where a grocery store was, and I've gone grocery shopping with Robert Axelrod. That was a fun time. Except that my feet really hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Well, funniest thing with Vic was that when on the second day, when his Q&A was about to start and that line went outside.
Yeah, I'm going
he kind of just walked out of the room and no one noticed.
I remember. I didn't specifically run into him in that I didn't talk to him, but I also had to go to the bathroom and he was just sort of in there. And I'm like, did nobody else notice that?
He left. He left, was in front of me while I was walking to the bathroom to, I don't know, find you or something.
I didn't want to draw attention to him. I didn't know if he needed to just take a stealth dump.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I don't want to point you out, but anyone else see this?
Is it some sort of excellent Vic cosplayer?
That'd be amazing.
That would be creepy.
Now, funny, remember the manpower?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh, God, that panel sucked.
Shut up. It's not time for that. There was a point where I went to the bathroom, and one of the members, I want to remember being the manpower, was there fixing his mohawk.
Yeah, that good dude did have a mohawk. There was one other panel, which was, I pulled a fake cell phone call in order to get out of this panel. There was a band there called The Manpower, and I never listened to their music, so they might be totally great, but they held a panel that were like, we like anime too, we're not just touring the convention circuit. I'm like, okay, sure. And I was like, it's called The Manpower. Maybe they like really good stuff. The first one they bring up, con. And then I was like, fake cell phone call, gone. I could actually see the guy's laptop and other things he was going to bring up. He was going to bring up Clannad and I think Oron High School Host Club. And I'm like, I think I don't need to be in here anymore.
Yeah, and that gave birth to another one of our panel ideas.
Yeah, where we talk about the man's... What is this thing you call moe? The man's path to anime?
Yep.
It's just going to be an hour of us talking about Fist of the North Star and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
So is there any other fun MTAC stuff? You've got some good video game stuff.
Oh, God, that's right. I've spent a significant amount of time in the gaming room because I'm like, why not?
There's not really a whole lot else to do.
It was something to do when I was really bored, but there were tournaments. One of them was Super Smash Bros. Brawl. I decided to enter that tournament.
By the way, our Wii is broken, so there was no practice time for this.
No, and I wouldn't have had time considering how we got back at 2:30 the night before, and we left at 11 a.m. the day after, the day when the tournament was. But the tournament was at about 8 p.m. There were over 150 people on that tournament. It was round-based, four people in a round. Only the leader got to win. It was originally going to be the top two, but because there were over 150 people, and I will not stress that enough, they had to knock it down to just top person. So it would go down by... so only about 30-some-odd people would still be in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was practicing the day before, and that day in the gaming room, there was this guy, big guy, with a baseball cap, that I swear he refused to lose. I refused to lose as well, but I continued to lose, and he made me so angry.
Well, that... I hate to say this about the gaming room, except that I don't. Here's my one... This is what I have to say about the gaming room. Take a fucking shower!
I agree.
Seriously, if you've ever been to some conventions, they have con funk, because the people don't take showers often enough. I mean, I even... At least go into your... If you're staying at the hotel, just go to your room, rinse off, come back down, and keep going. If you don't, like us, I took a shower when I was home. But... Yeah, the game. There's regular con funk, and then there's game room funk, and that funk is extra nasty.
Probably because
it's like you just walk
game there.
It's like there's just a big ass instead of a ceiling.
This room is literally an ass.
Yeah, we're in someone's anus right now. This is gross. But Super Street Fighter 4. That was the only game I played in the game room.
Yeah, and you played one match.
I played one match against this guy using a control. What was it? It was a specific Street Fighter...
Arcade.
Arcade stick. That's what I'm trying to think of. And he did win, but I actually did pretty okay, considering that I don't think I played Super Street Fighter 4 in a few months now.
Yes, and considering how I beat him in one round, and I knocked about half of his HP off in the second round...
You did pretty okay yourself.
Having not played a while, and playing an aggressive guile...
Yeah... Yeah, but that guy was super good as Makoto.
Yep.
That guy, he wrecked a couple Kens and Sagats. It was nice. Other than that, there was Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I kind of want to play it, but at the same time, X-23. There was one guy who never left the room, always Wolverine, Chun-Li, X-23, and eventually I just got bored. I was tired of watching that one guy do one combo over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
So that game is probably a lot more fun than I'm giving it credit for, but that guy made it look really boring.
Yes, and other than that game, there was Street Fighter IV Bloody Edition.
Interesting. Oh, Mortal Kombat. It took me a second.
How do you not get that? You make that joke.
Yeah, there was new Mortal Kombat. There was a tournament for that, too, though I have not played it, so I didn't want to answer that. And I assume the same is also true for you. It's basically Street Fighter 4, but with Mortal Kombat characters instead. Other games, there was Mario Party, the original Mario Kart, Guitar Hero, Wii Sports, and Wii Sports Resort. StarCraft 2. There was some beat-em-up game that I've never heard of, but it looked kind of okay. And there was a Naruto fighting game. And this is the one that I want to bring up, because it's been a couple years since the one Naruto fighting game that I have played, which was for the GameCube. Same game. It's exactly the same game. The characters have the exact same moves. There's been maybe a somewhat graphical update, and that's about it. So, way to milk that shit dry, whatever the guy who created that is. I think his first name is Musashi, but I don't remember.
You know what? At least you did one thing kind of correct.
What?
It's mostly 2D. I think.
Yeah, that is true. The camera shifts, but you're always in a 2D plane. Although it might be Tekken style, where you can
Or Soul Calibur.
Yeah, so that's not really that good. So that game just sucks entirely. Suck it, Naruto fans. You're all stupid. I think we're done. There's probably a lot more MTech to talk about, but this is the MTech experience that we had. The only other way that I can really give you any more is I'm going to post Vic's Q&A, the 15 minutes of it that you got. I'm also going to post it in conjunction with the line to the Q&A.
Oh, God.
So to
that
get the
line
full,
went outside.
Yeah, to get the full MTAC experience, watch the line and just keep it in a continuous loop for about an hour. That's the MTAC experience. You ready to stop?
Sure.
You know what to sync up on?
Let's see, what was the absolute worst part of MTAC?
Oh, I was just going to say, Con Kitty, will you marry me?
No, that's Alan's thing.
Well, yeah, but we can co-opt it from him.
We also start doing that?
Yeah, we're going to co-opt Alan's proposal from Con Kitty.
Which is going to be great for me, because I'm underage.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, yeah, I like that one. Do you have a better idea? Or do you just want to say your favorite anime sucks?
Well, I do have the badge.
Yes, you do have the badge.
Which was given to me by Cogswell Pepperbox.
Yes, I remember. The downside to that was that we were never able to use it for its truest purpose.
Yeah, I couldn't find enough Italia people.
Oh, well. So much Italia, so little time. But we've already done a podcast on Italia. That show was boring.
Yep.
So there you go. Yeah, let's sync up on Con Kitty. Will you marry me? You ready for it?
I'm doing this doubly so because I'm actually on a knee.
Ah, excellent. That's perfect. I'm going to remain sitting. So, you ready?
Yeah.
On three. One, two, three.
Cosplay, cosplay, everybody dance. Cosplay, cosplay, it took 3 months to make these pants. Cosplay, cosplay, I just glued my hand to my head. Cosplay, cosplay, someone's touching me, that's weird. Cosplay is awesome, cosplay is grand. It's better than staying on my lonesome and playing with my hand. Cosplay, cosplay, hip hip hooray. Cosplay, cosplay, I'm totally not gay unless you want me. All right.